Welcome back to Campbell Conversations with your host Colin Campbell, and today is episode 212 of the podcast, and I'm joined in conversation by George Armstrong. George is an entrepreneur, online fitness creator, and the owner of Physique Academy. I will not even attempt to do this episode justice in a 90-second intro, but I can tell you that you can expect to learn how George turned pain into power, the importance of being strong for yourself and for those around you, recognizing your own unique skills and talents and leaning into those, the joy of bringing people on a positive journey with you, and even how to lead with heart, intent, and passion. This conversation is intense, it's forthright, it's inspiring, and I cannot wait to hear what you all think of it. Today's podcast is sponsored and supported by the Factory Weights Business Hub event. If you work in the fitness industry as a coach, a PT, a gym owner, or have a fitness business in Scotland, then this event is the one for you. The PT coach, Phil Lerney, is coming to Glasgow, and he is one of the OGs of the fitness industry. Phil is an expert at helping you to scale your business, further help clients, increase your profits, and really take your things to the next level. Now, if that's not enough for you, I'm going to sweeten the deal, and it will be me that is attending the show and giving a round table presentation with a varied panel, including Stella Bartram, who's a CrossFit gym owner and MC, Chris Burns, the Savage Scholar and a regular guest on this podcast, Maya Halliday of Sorella, the female fitness business, and Tom Russell, who's the co-founder of Factory Weights. We're going to cover so many important topics for fitness professionals, and you can count on me to ask the important questions to get the insights that you need to progress your business in the next year. If you're listening to this event before Saturday, the 5th of November, then you can get your tickets in the link in the bio, which is Eventbrite, and you can get involved there. I'll be delighted to see you. As I said, this episode is a really powerful one. It was a real pleasure to record with George. He was set up in the studio in Bali. We made a tremendous effort to bring the best quality episode to you, and I know you're going to enjoy it. If you're new here, hit that subscribe or follow button on whatever app you're on. And if you're enjoying this one, take the time to share it with a friend, someone that needs to be inspired and led and just needs that little bump in their day, whatever time and day you're listening to this one. The music's going to play, and you're going to have an hour and 15 minutes with myself and Mr. George Armstrong. To the show, you're set up in Bali, you're looking jacked, you're looking tanned, you're looking happy and ready for this.
We made it. We live another day, brother. Let's go.
Exactly. And I wanna go back in time, because a lot of people know the character that you are nowadays, the energy you bring, the insights, the motivation, the inspiration. But I want to go back to 14-year-old George being told by Premier League football academies that he wasn't big and strong enough. Look at you now, but I want to know, what was life like back then?
Wow. Well, I told them so, didn't I? That was the goal. To prove them wrong. You can't tell me what to do, brother. What was it like back then? Well, it was a competitive family, because we played sports. So me and my older brother used to compete in everything, dude. Absolutely everything. We used to fight as well, ferociously. Which helped build some sort of toughness within myself, mate. So I've always been competitive back in the day, but when I was 14, I struggled in school academically. I didn't really believe in myself. I was always having extra tuition back at a class, getting called out, not for concentrating. They thought I had dyslexia, ADHD. I might have both. But long story cut short, I really struggled to concentrate, because I just didn't enjoy the subjects I was doing, and I felt this lack of confidence, just because my other two brothers excelled, extremely excelled. They were A-star students, and I was a D-E student. But hey-ho, I believe that it's not about the academics. It's about working hard. So I hire people now who are hell of a lot smarter than me. That's my job. I'm just a good leader, brother.
I believe that. And there's that whole meme that you see, like, if you judge the fish on how its ability to climb a tree, then you would judge it harshly, whereas obviously a monkey would climb up the tree no problem at all. And I think that's the education system in the UK and probably much of the Western world at this point in time, where people with lots of different skills, lots of different attributes, they aren't being channeled. And so many of the people that I've spoken to over the last 3 years who have gone on to be the top in their field, the best in their field, excelled and live like a really fulfilling life with their business and their mindset, they look back in school and just shake their head and like, I don't recognize the person that I was then and the fulfillment from life that I was getting at that point in time either.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, bro. I just wanted to get extremely good and an expert at a craft that I love and I was passionate about.
And what was that, George? Training from the start?
Getting jacked and tanned. That's what I thought, bro. I thought, you know what? I'm getting told I'm weak and I'm not strong enough. I'm going to prove them wrong. And that's what I did. I just thought, you know what? Let's get some weights. My dad got a set of dumbbells in the garage. I trained pretty much every single day. Started to be obsessed with training, nutrition. And I just put full focus, full throttle into just getting strong and jacked. And then I became the strongest guy on the team. I became the guy who people were scared of. Yeah. I would run people down. I would barge them over. I would be very aggressive. So you can change your life around pretty quick.
I think that's one of the most empowering things about physical change. Because once you see that the efforts you put in, and if you put them in the right way and you learn bits and pieces here and there, but of course that key ingredient, which is just years and hours of hard graft and effort, and it compounds over time, it proves a lot to you. And I think so many of the people that I relate to online and I get to have conversations with, often they win the battle with their body first, and then business, other areas of your life come from those lessons of, look, if I put in this work to build this particular physique, I've had to be disciplined and focused and adherent. It turns out that you can apply those in other areas too. And the secret sauce has the same sort of effect in these other areas of life too.
It fucking does, bro. I was literally speaking about this yesterday. The thing is, what I learned over time was the attributes that you need to get jacked, to get fit, to get strong, to be an athlete, go hand in hand and are the same in business. So when I was dead broke, but I was jacked, I was like, whoa, Jesus, I've got a decent physique now and I'm pretty successful in building a body, but I can't pay my rent. I thought, oh, there must be something more than just being jacked. That's not going to pay your bills, is it? But if you put that same time, consistency, energy, effort, discipline into business, it is the same shit. And the thing is with bodybuilding and fitness, you have to put the work in. It's inevitable. You have to do it. You can't cheat. You can't cheat building your body. Well, you can take some steroids here and there, but it's not going to last. You have to be dedicated and disciplined and consistent for a very long time. And that's what I love about business as well. Knowing that if I put the work in, inevitably, it's going to fucking succeed one day or another. If I don't quit and I stick at it and I work hard and I see those marginal changes, we will get there essentially. And you know what I'm bothered about more than anything now is just putting the work in. When no one's watching, putting the work in. I couldn't even give a shit now anymore about the result, really, because I know the result's going to come. I'm just bothered about putting the work in and being consistent with that.
I love your framework because you are somebody that just relentlessly does it. And when we were getting organized for this, one of the things that I think is really important to recognize is the level of awareness that you had where you said, oh, I'm going to be a couple of days late with the reply on this, bro, because I'm taking some time to reset. And is that something that's become a more recent realization for you? Because when I first became acquainted with your content, you've always been a man that's foot to the floor, pedal to the metal, let's go. But I was really impressed to see you say, look, I'm just going to take a couple of days to chill. We'll get this organized. I really want to do this, but I'm going to be slower in my replies for once. And that's one, it's really mannerly, but two, unreal that you recognize that sometimes somebody, even with your drive, needs to maybe dial back a tiny bit.
I'm too intense, bro. People tell me like, wow, bro, you need to chill. But recognizing the fact that you need a little bit of downtime, are you able to actually switch off? That's pretty damn important, I would say. In the past before, I never switched off. And it left me with this anxiety-ridden day where I would get shit done. They'd have to get done. Fuck the feelings. Let's get to work. But I was taking copious amounts of caffeine and sleeping hardly ever. And it just led me to this kind of health scare where I had heart arrhythmias. Basically, my heart was just not beating how it should be. And I had tests for the past 2 years, a health check to make sure that I am okay. And then this year, something flagged up and I was like, hang on a minute, what's going on there? This is interesting. But the way I was going with my lifestyle, even though I'm meant to be fitness and health orientated, I wasn't like looking after myself because I would use the gym, I would use work as a coping mechanism to get me through life and stress. If I was stressed, work more. If I'm stressed, train more. And I think I had to learn the hard way, but I only really learn lessons from learning the hard way.
Again, that's a huge level of self-awareness, though, to recognize that sometimes you need, like, it's the whole, the sign says, do not touch hot. You have to reach out and touch it. And you're like, oh, that is hot. It burnt my hand. It's like, just when you reinforce that lesson with the actual experience of it, it's a lot easier to learn it than if somebody just theoretically tells you, George, you maybe need to ease off the full-blown work mode, all the caffeine, all the energy drinks, or whatever else you're chasing. It's going to catch up on you. And then you needed to maybe experience it. What was it like when you maybe have a conversation with somebody medical that says that your heart's having these challenges?
It's like I knew it was going to happen, bro. I already pictured it happening. I honestly thought about this over and over again because I'm that type of person where I will just go until something stops me in my tracks. Not an injury, not something that's small. It has to be a crisis. It has to be something that makes me really open my eyes and think, fuck, shit, you know what? You could die. Do you know what I mean? Do you want to be those young guys who's fit as a fiddle, who just drops dead as a heart of a heart attack because he's so stressed out? And you hear all these people getting unwell and ill from these weird diseases that are relative to stress and your lifestyle, but they're rich. They could ease off the amount of workload they've got. They can't because they're addicted to the grind. I can't do that, bro. I've got people counting on me. And you know what? I want to live a long life. Like, let's be real about it.
I appreciate that so much. And I think if people understand your story as well, they can understand why there's elements that you have dialed into working harder, training more to deal with the pressures and potentially some of the traumatic events that you've been through, because it served you well. Like, look how accomplished you are with your physique, with your business, with your inspirational mindset. But if you dive too much into that, then you're not going to be able to keep doing that and serving people, because it's going to catch up with you and cause you issues around your mortality and your health.
Yeah, I've been around death. I've been around a lot of illnesses in the family. So I understand how precious life is. And that's why I'm very intense and motivated and on a mission every single day to make shit happen and don't want to waste any second of the day fucking around. Like, it's hard for me to just chill and do nothing. It really is. And it's kind of a blessing, but also sometimes it can be detrimental to my mental health. And sometimes others around me who see me and care about me so much are like, George, just take a day off. I'm like, what? Day off? Rest day? Bro, you must be kidding. Shut up.
Humor is a powerful defense mechanism, though, isn't it? When somebody says something that you know kind of rings true, you're like, I'm going to laugh that off and I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's so true. But with my body, I push myself extremely hard. And I was speaking about this the other day, like, you get addicted to the high And you get addicted to pushing yourself so hard that if you don't get that feeling of that's that achievement where you have pushed it to the limit, I leave the gym feeling not satisfied, bro. And I'm addicted to that feeling of I get to the point where it's just I have this clear mind and clear clarity, and just I can't think about anything anymore. And all my pain, all the things I'm worrying about that's on my mind at the time just completely disappears. And I'm just in that clear mode of just at one, where I'm sweating and I'm in like the zone, essentially. I have to get in that zone where you're not worrying about what's going on in work. You're not worried about what's going on at home. I chase the zone. That's what I'm chasing. And you can't push yourself too hard where you can't get in the zone. But you have to push yourself very, very hard where it's tough and it takes you a while to get into the rhythm of things. And you start to have that second wind where you forget about the pain. You forget about everyone. You forget about anyone who's in the gym. You're just in your fucking zone, in the grind, hustling, putting in that work. And that's what I would rather chase rather than drugs, alcohol, meaningless sex, all the other shit that essentially doesn't really fill me up. I'm getting jacked and tanned. Well, not tanned. Maybe I'm training outside. But I'm getting jacked, but also I'm helping my mental health as well at the same time.
Yeah, I completely agree. What you're speaking about there is a flow state. And I read a book, Michael, and I always butcher his second name, Tristansky. He spoke about this, and you're completely correct that if there's not a level of difficulty to what you're doing, you can't get into a flow state because it's not hard enough to challenge you. Yeah. And equally, if you don't push yourself to like too hard, then you're almost tapping into stores that mean you're not capable of like enjoying it. But you're finding this balance of just getting into something that's so hard that it's difficult enough that you're stimulated and challenged, but you can't think about anything else. And like people talk about being in a flow state with like some people get into it when they're cleaning. Like if they enjoy it often enough, they're in the flow state and time flies past. I reckon during your training sessions, you're probably like, oh, what, I've been doing an emom for 20 minutes? Nah, I've just started, man. I'm flying here because it's just that right element of challenge, that right element of mastery as well. Because it's a skill that not everyone can do, there's definitely positive feedback to George is doing something that not everyone can do, and that definitely will benefit you as well.
Yeah. Chase the flow state, man. Fuck. Maybe twice a day if you have to. If you get those urges to go and have a snack, go and eat junk food, or want to go out on the piss on the Friday night, put yourself and force yourself to go to the gym again. Force yourself to go to the gym before you go out. And you might think twice about going out on the piss because you've just worked hard and you won't want to spoil it. Because at the end of the day, most of the time when you go out on the piss, you wake up with a horrible hangover because your environment, maybe the conversations you had, you might have regretted something. You're not going to finish your workout and regret it unless you get injured or you see your ex in the gym.
You're so disciplined now, George. What are the temptations that do show up for you and challenge you and maybe get you to go and do the workout rather than go and do the thing?
Oh, it's just all about trying to reach my true potential. That's it. And also, I've got a team counting on me, and they have to be inspired and motivated by the leader. So I have to become the character to lead them. Otherwise, why would they be inspired by someone who is leading a fitness company who isn't jacked and tanned and pushing himself extremely hard in the gym? They want to be like, fuck, yeah, George is the man. George works hard. He shows us how to work. He's disciplined. He's in good shape and he practices what he preaches. Don't get me wrong. I'm not perfect. I'll slip up and I've done things that I regret. And they know that. I'm honest with them. But for majority of the time, I'm grinding. I'm earning it every single day and they can see that. So as long as I do that, I have confidence in knowing that they're looking at me and thinking, yeah, you know what? George works hard. I have to work hard. I always try and make sure I'm working harder than them. If they're putting in that grind and they're training for an extra half an hour, or they're doing an EMOM and they're doing an extra calorie, I'm like, listen, bro, look at this, and show them the workout. Like, I'm training today with one of my coaches, Sam, respect, lots of love, bro. Hope you listen to this. I'm pretty sure you will. And I've loved him being here in Bali because it was his dream to come out to Bali. And I've made that happen with giving him the opportunity to work for me. But also, he's worked his fucking ass off, and I respect him so much. I'm blessed now to be able to see him come out to Bali. Like, he's loved every second of it. But I've been training with him and pushing him. And I was, to be honest, it's not in working hours, but I was calling him a little pussy and bitch this morning in the gym. I was literally like, bro, pick the bar up right now. Pick it up. You're gonna lose. You're not gonna hit it. You're not gonna hit it. You're not gonna hit it. I was like, come on, you're gonna get you. The devil's gonna get you in his head. And you know what? It actually, I thought it was helping him, but he got in his own head to the point where he could have made it. It was like he needed to get like 4 reps in a certain amount of time, and he had the time, but he got in his own head. I believed in him. I was like, bro, you can do it, but you have to move at a pace. And he was just being so slow, and I was like, you fucked it. But I'm building him up, bro. It's all positive. The intentions are good. I'm not looking down on him. I'm pushing him up, but I believe he could have done it, and he could have done it, but he bitched out, and I bitch out sometimes, but I could see it. And I was like, you're not going to make it. And he didn't make it. And he knew, and he texted
me. You recognize that. One of my favorite phrases is a rising tide raises all ships. And I think that you work to be that tide all the time. Cause like you say, you want to be the leader at the front of the pack, bringing people with you. And a tide, that's pushing people up. It's pushing the boats up. Carry the boats is obviously a Goggins phrase, isn't it? And I know you'll probably relate hard to that, but it's so vital that you are that guy that's pushing the standards, and the people around you will respond to that. And one of the phrases you used there was building the character. When did you start to build the character that we get to enjoy now?
Oh, I started to build the character when my little brother was diagnosed with depression and anxiety. And that in itself, being diagnosed with depression and anxiety, is a little bit of a touchy subject, isn't it? Because like, people literally go to the doctors and say, I'm depressed. And it's like, oh, there you go. Take some pills, bro. When majority of people are going through the same shit. So is it really depression, or is it having a different perspective on, you're probably going through the same shit. This is life. Deal with it. Move on. But anyway, when he got diagnosed with depression, I think he was 12. Back then, well over 11 years ago, depression wasn't as known or talked about, and anxiety, as now. So things were a hell of a lot different then. He was called out as being a freak, a weirdo, mental disorder. Just stay away from that guy. He's got something wrong with him. He's mentally weird. He's disturbed. He's loopy. And he was fucking an absolute specimen of a man. Super intelligent, A star, just was a little bit different. So me looking back then, I created my own character, or tried to become a character to help him get out of hell. And I believe that, especially the brotherhood that I'm creating, like my team, they're inspired by me. And I knew that. I knew the only way, well, not the only way, let's take that back, but I knew a good way to get someone out of a bad place was to be an inspiration to them. And that's what I tried to do.
And try and bring them on that journey with you. Yeah, I think you speak so well about that period of your life and what it's led to. And I think it's incredibly empowering for people to hear somebody speak about mental health in a way that's not maybe as talked about in the same way. And like you say, 11 years ago, there was no even concept or understanding of those terminologies to the same extent. But nowadays, the conversation's gone to just talk about it. Whereas you're straight away being like, no, look, I'm trying to empower the members of my family, my team, the people around me to follow my lead and feel as good as they can do. And you were saying there, rather than going the night out, or rather than binge eat, or rather than be tempted by these vices, try and channel it into something that might make you feel good. Well, there we go. It's another huge one.
It's easy. It's easy, isn't it? Don't choose the easy option. Choose the hard option. The hard option is always going to benefit you more. That's kind of a thing that I always think about and always have done. Yeah, the times where I choose the easy option, the easy path, it doesn't work out. It always takes longer in the long run because I have to do it again and again and again and again. Like, you just do the fucking work and grind it out and choose the path that you know is incongruent with your mission and your purpose, rather than just looking at the shiny object syndrome or the instant gratification of that burger, of that night out. So that's what we teach in our program. Delayed gratification is massive in the success of an individual. And that's what I know. And I've learned that back in the bodybuilding days.
Yeah, you were so successful at a young age in the bodybuilding space as well. Like, how many shows did you win in, like, 17 years old or something like that?
17, yeah. I won some decent shows, like Mr. United Kingdom twice, Mr. Northwest. Decent shows. The caliber of type of individual I was at that age in terms of my physique was predicted easily Olympia standard now. Easily, without a doubt. There's people who I competed against on Olympia stage right now. So, but end of the day, that wasn't my path. I got injured and I had to put my focus into something else. And it happened for a reason. And I think it's a blessing in disguise. I really do.
So many of the brilliant guests that I've got to speak to over the last 3 years have all talked about moments where maybe a part of their old self died or their old identity died. So, like, you would at 17 or 18, whatever age you were when you were winning these shows, you're George, the bodybuilder, who's on the path to try and become Mr. Olympia. He wants to be on that stage. When that part of you leaves, in the same way that perhaps your Premier League football dream would have had to be killed at some point and aligned into something else, it's so important what you do next, not to dwell on those challenges that you've had and to quickly and effectively build a new identity and the new habits that go with that. And we all go through different evolutions, but best believe that I think somebody like yourself who has had different challenges and different breakpoints, it's like the better version of you comes afterwards, regardless of circumstance.
Yeah, bro. I really do believe you've got to kind of reshape yourself, change your identity. And that's what we try and do with clients, essentially. You won't maintain the results if you've got fit and jacked. After a 16-week program, if you don't completely reshape your mindset and reshape the way you think about yourself, you're someone now who doesn't binge eat most of the time, doesn't go out on the piss four nights a week. You're now someone who drinks maybe moderately two times a month, have takeaways maybe once or twice a week. You're someone who gets up early in the morning, who goes to the gym, keeps hydrated, gets sunlight, grounds themselves in the garden in the morning. But you can see where I'm going at. Like, back in the past, before, that person was negative. They were binge eating too much. They were watching, don't know, like, negative things on the internet. They were just a little bit lazier, didn't have that purpose, and they felt sorry for themselves. They were a victim. You've got to completely reshape your identity of who you are, and that's how you're going to maintain it. You're now a person who is jacked, fit, positive, a go-getter, attacks situations. You've left that person behind and you've got to shed that person. And I felt like I've done that many times before. It's the only way, bro. You have to let go of the past. You have to let go of that person. I'm a proud of the person, the things I've done in the past. No, I'm not, but that person who I was and have been, I don't hide. I always talk about the things I did and the things I used to get up to and the habits I had. The habits I had and who I was never going to succeed anything in life.
Not to the level you've got to now.
No, it's about your habits, bro. Everything's to do with your habits, your daily habits. Simple as that. You look at someone's habits, you can see someone's future. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
I think it's a really clear path. Like, there's a lag effect. So the stuff that I'm doing in October 2023 while we're recording this, that's what I'm going to show up as in October 2024, because it'll show in the size of the podcast, it'll show in the quality of the conversation that I'm having, it'll show in the texture of my mind, it'll show my bank account, it'll show everywhere based on what I'm doing now and the effort that I'm putting in. And I think that somebody like yourself who breaks it down in the clearest possible terms with exercise and food and nutrition, but alongside that, that mental component that you speak about so well, I think there's a lot to learn from that. And equally, I just want to say, in terms of like you taking on this character at such a young age, I think, am I right in saying you're 28 just now?
Yeah.
Like, I think you speak with remarkable self-awareness, emotional understanding of yourself and those around you. But also, you've taken on such a heavy burden throughout your life. I think it puts you in a position to say these things and people sit up and take notice.
Yeah. No, I really do appreciate that. It means a lot, man. I think the world needs good leaders, and I believe I'm not perfect, but I truly do care about helping people, and I have helped a lot of people, and I am someone who can really make a positive change on someone's life. I've been there, I've done it, and I was literally thinking about this today, actually. Like, I'm obligated to do this shit. I'm obligated. If I don't do it, I'll hate myself. If I don't do it, I'm a waste. And I've had talks about this to therapists. They're like, are you enough, George? If you don't continue down this path, are you enough? Do you think you're enough if you don't help all these millions of people you want to help out? And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not going to beat around the bush. That's how I feel. I feel like I'm wasting my potential because I've been through what I've been through. And now I've got to channel that in a positive message. Otherwise, I can be very, very detrimental and very hard on myself, and I can punish myself in really bad ways, mate, that aren't healthy. And so I've got that side of me as well that needs to be channeled. So it's a sense of, I look the way I do. I'm born with the type of genetics I've been born with. I've got this hard working mentality. I've been through some shit that has allowed me to have a certain type of perspective. And the way I've been brought up, the people I've hanged around, the things I've done, has now got me to a point where I'm like, I'm pretty good at helping people. I think people will listen. I don't lie, I don't bullshit. And the message is authentic and real and true. I have to do it. Like, I own a coaching company who help inspire men, and my younger brother died and committed suicide. I've been helping people for over a decade. I can fucking help some people. Like, you have to do it, George. You're obligated to do it. Like, I'm blessed to do it, even though it's a burden sometimes because I work fucking hard and I'm like, I push myself so hard, but I'm fucking harnessing that anyway. So
I wrote something down, George, before this episode, only the broadest shoulders can carry the heaviest loads and burdens. And I think that's the case where somebody has to have the capabilities, the potential, they have to have done the work to build up those broad shoulders to take that on. So taking on supporting your brother when he was with us, and then now dealing with the trauma of him leaving, but also these thousands of people, and like, is it 40 coaches you have working within Physique Academy, something like that? Like, like, you are a leader of men through those coaches and through the clients that they all interact with, because you're the standard that potentially brings them in the door in the first place. So you need to have broad shoulders to hold up that load and OHP it over your head regularly and just do it relentlessly. And that's not everyone.
No.
And it can't be everyone, and it shouldn't be everyone. But those figures throughout history, and particularly in a time where, and we'll definitely discuss this, where modern men are more lost than ever before, those men need to stand up and stand out. And the internet allows you to reach more of those people to help.
I like that, bro. I respect that. That means a lot, man. It really does. Because I'm not trying to be anyone else. I'm not trying to be someone I'm not. I'm not trying to say things that I don't really know anything about. So at the end of the day, like, men need to step up, good men, because at the end of the day, they're the ones who are bringing up our children. And I just think that if you are someone who has something positive to say, then fucking say it. Yeah. and you should say it with pride. Regardless of how many views you get, regardless of how much engagement you get, you say it. That's why I do the videos I do. That's why I'm on here, because I've got a message that I need to share, and I have to do it, because if I don't, there will be other people who take their life. And it's not on me. It's not. But like, you can get the gist. I take this shit seriously. And I just think that there's not that many good leaders out there. People are full of shit, bro. And they don't really have, they don't really have the experience, or they haven't done the work to earn the right to say anything. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and start talking about crypto or anything like that when I don't have a clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's a Teddy Roosevelt was a president of the US in the 1920s, and he has a famous speech called Man in the Arena. And it's all about how people shouldn't take criticism or shots seriously from people who are outside of their space and who haven't done what they've done. Like to break it down into the kind of Instagram meme, a lion doesn't lose sleep over the opinions of sheep. So you, as the metaphorical lion, needs to just be like, look, I don't care what some of the outside noise is. It doesn't matter. It's not for them. It's for my tribe and it's for my people, and I'm going to take them forward. And like, I've definitely noticed that when a clip, particularly a short form clip, reaches the wrong side of the internet, when I'm talking about responsibility, self-development, improving yourself, like lifting weights, controlling what goes in your mouth, controlling what your consumption diet is in terms of your phone and your information that you take in, I didn't realize there's so many people out there that makes so angry, because they just are totally lost and disempowered. And you or I or whoever speaking about taking control as much as humanly possible and refusing to live on autopilot, that triggers them like nothing else. And I feel sorry for those people, but a podcast like this one isn't for them. Like, I didn't fucking interview George Armstrong to talk about like channeling pain into the right direction, paying your dues, and all these phrases that we're going to talk about, for somebody that just like embraces victimhood.
Yeah, bro, I completely agree with you on that one. I don't think many men have had leaders, have had a father figure or had a mentor or had someone in their life who will point them in the right direction and actually give them some decent advice, bro.
Where did the good advice that you've got come from?
Oh, a lot of it's come from my mum. My mum is my biggest inspiration. Absolutely. I talk about my mum a lot. I'm bringing her out here to Bali in the next couple of weeks. I can't fucking wait.
Congratulations. Oh,
I appreciate that. She's my rock, man. She's literally my rock. She's been through some serious shit in her life. And she's tough as nails, bro. She's absolutely tough as nails. And growing up, she made me think twice about complaining. She never complained. She never complained at anything. She just got on with it, because that's what it was. That's how it is. And I get so much inspiration and power from just thinking about what my mum's been through, speaking to her every day of how she's so fucking positive, regardless of if she's just lost a son. So that hits deep, man. And I look at my mum, who is the biggest inspiration for me, and I'm gonna give her the world, mate, back, because she's given everything to me and she's been through a hell of a lot. So I think we've got to look after our parents, number one. Look after your parents. If you've had a little bit of success, you made a little bit of money, why don't you look after your parents first before buying a Lambo? Hey.
Does the materialism that potentially you've been surrounded by, because I know before Bali you were out in Dubai, does that become a temptation as well?
Yeah, but it's relative to where I'm at in my career and where I'm at in my life. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think at the moment I'm just grinding myself. I don't need to buy any flashy things to impress other people, bro. Like, I live in a really nice villa. I live with my best mate. I'm building a brand. I'm investing all my money back into the business, because there's so much further to go. And if I started to buy those things, yes, I do like those things. I do like materialistic things, and like cars, maybe watches, nice clothes, but I just think twice before I buy it, man. I think, who do I really need that? Who am I doing it for? Who am I impressing? Would I want to buy that if I didn't have Instagram and no one knew about it?
If I couldn't go on social media.
Yeah. Would I even buy it? Like, would I buy it if I was fucking like living in an even remote country? Would I need to buy that? So it's like, If people thought about that, they probably wouldn't buy all this shit. But don't get me wrong, I think it is very motivating to aspire to buy nice things, expensive things, designer things, which are great and good quality.
There's no need to relinquish your material desires entirely, but if you're chasing them for the wrong reasons, which you called out there, then it's not going to fill you up. Like, the car will just become the car immediately, and you'll be on to the next thing, and you'll be working for something that you know won't ever quite feel the same. Whereas you flying your mum out to Bali in a couple of weeks' time, like, you'll remember that, like, in your 80s, in your 90s, you'd be like, oh yeah, remember when I was able, through the business that I built, to fly my mum out and say thank you for raising me and my family and being that role model for you in terms of her relentless positivity and resilience.
Yeah, man. I just think people should look after the family first before they start buying shit. Just because it's like a competition, isn't it? Everyone's trying to get one up on one another. Nicer car, nicer house, nicer clothes, whatever it is. And I think what I've truly understood, mate, over the years of speaking to people in business is a lot of the time, it's all the front, bro. Like, they might have a nice car, but it's rented. They might have a nice house, but they can only just afford it. They might not have all the nice gear and clothes, but they're an influencer. Everything's been sent to them for free. When in behind the scenes, you actually find out that they're dead fucking broke. And that's happened many times before where I've spoke to people. I'm like, wow, this is so fucking fake, bro. Like, what is this shit? And I just thought, I'm never going to be like that. I'm going to be someone who is undeniable in their own right. I don't need anyone else to know how much I'm earning or what I'm getting up to. I don't need to post anything. I don't need to post a flashy car or anything like that. Or, like, yeah, to be honest, I do post the villa I'm in at the moment, but I post that because it's fucking bliss. And it's like a different life than, let's say, in the UK, where you're in that fucking race every single day. And out here, people can see how calm it is. And I actually like speaking to my coaches and getting them to travel as much as possible, bro. I want them to travel the world. I want them to see things that they've never experienced. So, like, I think traveling is number one. So anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. What am I talking about?
But it creates a lot of perspective, though, doesn't it? I completely agree with the materialism stuff, and showing the villa and your lifestyle out there, I don't think is a negative thing at all. And I don't think if somebody throws up a watch or a car on Instagram, sometimes it's done with some of the right intentions, because it can motivate and stimulate, and the people it doesn't motivate and stimulate, that's cool as well. But if you've done it purely for the gratification of the likes, then it's gonna be very empty indeed. One of the things that I was desperate to ask you about was, you were saying there about when you've been with a therapist, you've talked about your self-talk of not fulfilling your potential and the element of guilt or dislike of yourself should that happen. What are some of the things that you're doing to work on that? Because do you feel that's a challenge for you?
Yeah, I've got a lot of regret at the moment with my younger brother, and a lot of things that I would have done differently, which I talk about quite a lot. I wish I could have done more. I wish I could have done different things that I was able to do, but at the time I didn't choose to do that. Like, I could have flown him out to Ibiza. He could have just stayed with me and not worried about working or anything like that. So there's loads of different shit that I think about and regret. And I wake up with a lot of demons about different things that I would have done differently. But I'm trying to come to terms with them and accepting that I have to. I am a good guy. I really, truly do believe I am a good person. But I just have to accept and come to terms with it and have peace with the fact that back then that was how you were acting. That was all you knew. Those were the choices you made. You're not a bad guy, and you've got to move on and be positive with it. But that feeling of lack, maybe I've had most of my life, maybe come from when I was younger, just not being, I don't know, the smartest kid in the room. And I'm always looking for more and always looking for something to always, like, had a chip on my shoulder, and that drive and that focus and ambition to prove people wrong. I think now I'm just harnessing it in a different direction rather than being very, very negative and taking a lot of it out on myself internally, trying to kind of change my perspective on things. Even like, let's say competition, like people who have said negative things to me in the past, I'm like, you motherfucker, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove you wrong. And it's like, you did that. And then I've done it. Like, what's next? Where do you go?
Spite is a powerful driver, but it's not an everlasting fuel.
It's not.
So for example, and I think this has been really helpful, I've heard Hormozi speaking more about this. What gets a lot of successful people from 0 to 50 is very different from what gets them from 50 to 100. And the problem is, a lot of the guys that we're listening to that are between 50 and 100 are telling you to be more soft on yourself, more understanding, have more balance. But best believe the position that you're in just now, a lot of the negative self-talk and the drivers were actually good things to get you to where you are, to enable you to have a greater net positive impact on all these men that you coach. And I said about your broad shoulders carrying these heavy loads, you were able to carry those challenging experiences and emotions during that time when other people couldn't. And look how it's turned out. And yes, maybe now you need to work on some of the self-loathing or the upset or anger that you can cause yourself or the demons that come up. But it's your burden to bear because of the man that you are and what you've decided to take on. And a lot of it's like pressure's a privilege. And I think you wear that pressure and as a privilege really, really well, and you accept it and you take it on as a leader of men, as you've described yourself.
Thanks, bro. That means a lot, man. Yeah. I think if you've got it, you've got it. And if you know you've got it and it's a gift, you may as well utilize it and put it into something great. It's bigger than me. It's not about me. And I couldn't give a fuck about me. I really couldn't, bro. I really couldn't. Like, that's one of my flaws, I would say. I give too much and don't fill my own cup up. But it's got me where I am today, and I'm working on that shit. But yeah,
I'm using a lot of fucking naval metaphors when I'm talking about the rising tide raising all ships, but in the same way, there's a ripple effect. So like, your actions ripple the water out towards other people. So when you're posting first thing in the morning about dues paid and the exercise that you're doing and using it to positively align your mind, get into that flow state to then go about business and to then push forward, there'll be hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people who don't say anything but are positively impacted. That's the madness about social media. It's the madness about a podcast. It just looks, it's just one figure on the download number, the views number, and you don't know the impact that it's had until occasionally you get a message being like, mate, I listened to episode 200 and something, whatever it is, with George, and you know when he said this, that spoke to me, and ever since I've been doing this, and you're like, holy shit. And that's only the people that were brave enough to put fingers to the pad and send you something. So think about the ripple effect that you're having by creating some of this content. And I want to ask you, like, some of the phrases that you use are dues paid, fight the demons. When did you start to come up with these?
I come up with a lot of them when I'm in the workouts, man. Yeah, when I'm in that flow state, bro. Yeah. I have, to be honest, I will take credit for this. I do come up with some good catchy shit, and it is fucking funny. Some of the shit I come out with, and the brand I'm creating, the clothing brand, the fitness apparel and the physique academy apparel, will all have these types of things I say. And I don't try and copy anyone else, bro. Do you know what I mean? I try and come up with my own.
Mate, I think you're a very unique character, and I think you lean into your. Well, if you compile all these different experiences, and when you spoke to my friend David McIntosh on his podcast, you were talking about the different attributes that make up a great man. So training, nutrition, being able to fight and defend yourself, being, and also importantly, you actually said in terms of masculinity, you were also like being able to be emotionally open with the people that deserve it too. But you have a unique blend of experiences and insights that makes you George Armstrong, and nobody else can try and be an Aldi or a Costco version of that, because to do so would be insincere. And like, if you were to maybe decide like, oh, like, and you're friends with loads of really interesting people in the fitness industry. So if you decided to start making content just like Mike Thurston, your mate out in Dubai, it wouldn't feel real for a long time because that's not you. You're George, he's Mike. And in the same way, if he decided to try and copy whoever it was else, it just wouldn't be authentic, would it? And he wouldn't be able to do that for a long time.
It's funny you say that, bro, because I've met a lot of people in the fitness industry, and some, like I don't give a fuck. Like, some it's all a front, some of them. Some of the people I meet, it's a bit of a front, bro. And it's just funny, man. Like, behind the scenes, they're not that same person, but on the camera, and I get it, you have to kind of put on a little bit of a show and you're an actor, but sometimes behind the scenes, bro, it's a little bit of an anti-climax. You're like, fuck, I thought this guy was going to be a fucking... the man, and they're just not. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I'm trying to give you guys confidence out there who are listening to this, knowing that you can actually create a fucking savage beast with a lot of self-development work and building your body and building your mindset to the point where you will come across these guys and you'll be like, wow, you know what, this is just an average guy, but maybe he's built an armor on his physique, but internally he's still struggling, aren't we all going through our own stuff? So essentially, I really want to always give people perspective, knowing that with a lot of hard work, you can build yourself up into a beast. And it just takes a lot of discipline, consistency over a long period of time, but it's definitely possible. And the people on our program, especially some of the coaches who have been previous clients, are absolutely the undeniable truth about that. And I love it.
Speaking of, like, you being a leader and bringing people with you and setting up people that can build this armor and become who they want to be, I know that you actually took on four guys that you used to work in a warehouse with to join part of your team. Yeah.
Bro, my brother, Jamie, head of coaching. So my brother works for me. He's a fucking man. I was just on a call with him before. He's the best. So Jamie, head of coaching, his brother has now come on, and Sam, who's in Bali, mate, and then me. So there's five. And that business actually went under not long ago when Sam left. He left 2 weeks later, it went under. Wow. And I'm not naming any names, but the owner didn't treat us well. But at the end of the day, that for me was an amazing experience, because over the past how many years I was working in different jobs when I was younger, certain things happened to me from managers or bosses, experiences that I was like, fuck, this is not a pleasant working environment. I'm getting spoken to like dog shit. Like, how can you speak to me like that? That's not good. What? He said, what? I'm not even done. Huh? Just like, damn. And then as soon as I started to lead, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make sure the more success I have, the better person I become, the more giving, the more understanding, the more compassionate, the better leader. And I would treat my team, they're not even staff, they're not even employees, my fucking team, with respect. And that's it. That's the fucking thing, man. I want my team to know that I've got their back. I have got their back, and I actually give a shit about them, and I want them to achieve their goals just as much as, well, more than they want me to achieve my goals. I can't give a fuck if they want me to achieve my goals, because I'm going to do it anyway. But if I help you achieve your goals, whether you're going to buy your mum a holiday, whether you're going to pay off a debt, whatever it is, have a certain type of lifestyle, bring up your children without worrying, stressing about making ends meet, that to me makes me feel so goddamn fulfilled.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how does it feel to bring these guys on the journey with you?
Oh, mate, that shit's giving me shivers. When I brought on the first person, I had like this eureka moment. I was like, when he got his first paycheck and he was telling me about how he was paying off a debt, and I was just like, what? I was like, bro, wow, that hit home, because I'd been there myself where I couldn't make ends meet, being in debt, blowing fucking coke up my nose every weekend, asking my mum for money, lying to her, just doing all that fucking nasty low level shit. That when I started to give people opportunities who needed it, who wanted it, and who would do so much to fucking earn the right to be on the team, and who are actually good, honest people, That's the fucking shit, bro. That's what gets me up in the morning. When I feel low, when I feel down, when I feel like a fucking little bitch in bed, I'm like, I just can't be asked getting up. I need a day off. Come on, man. I'm just like, no. Your team needs you, bro. Don't let them down. And I get up. I have to think about others. As soon as I start to think about myself, oh, George needs this, George needs that. I'm like, no, think about giving and helping. You're feeling like that, go and help someone else. You just change your state straight away.
And it's gratifying in a really healthy way. Like you were talking about instant gratification, drugs, phone, social media, lying in bed a little bit longer. Like nowadays, one of the big scourges for men is porn as well. Instead, getting like delayed gratification from building something that you can bring your friends and family and people along with you. My God, does that feel good? In the same way that you look in the mirror, 10 years, however long of training, and you're like, nobody can buy this. Like you have to work for this, and it's so rewarding in a way that's totally different. I just think it's incredibly so much more fulfilling to wait for that type of gratification because of the work that you've put in than to chase those short-term micro pleasures and distractions. And I'm as guilty of it as ever. Like I was talking to one of my guests, Dr. Julie Gerner. She's like an executive coach for like hedge funds managers in the US. So she coaches like the top 1% of earners, and she's like unlocking the benefits of them. And a lot of these guys, they just swap like their procrastination is like another type of work, but they still feel guilty about the procrastination. So like some of my procrastination might be replying to DMs about the podcast. And she was like, in reality though, that's actually work. Like you're engaging with your audience and you're technically working, and I'm feeling guilty about doing that rather than writing my newsletter or rather than reaching out to more guests. And I'm like, fuck, good point. Like it's funny how like procrastination for like high level people is not typically the average person's procrastination of porn or fucking, don't know, drinking drugs.
Oh, yeah, I think we get bored, don't we? As soon as we get bored and we distract ourselves. You know what I mean? Like if we're completing a task and it's going to take a long time, it's like, oh, fuck, oh, let's go and get a coffee. Oh, I can't be arsed with this. Oh, I'll leave it for tomorrow. And it's just being disciplined, isn't it? The key to that is just being like, nah, you got to get it done. Because you become that person who puts stuff off. If you're a person who never quits and you're like, I will never quit, you become that person. That's a habit. It's a trait. So you've got to be very careful. And especially when you've reached a certain level, like I'm not saying I'm ridiculously successful, but I do it right. You can become complacent. That's the killer, bro. Like there's nothing worse than complacency.
How do you fight complacency, George?
Oh, just a very vicious self-talk, bro. Very vicious self-talk. Like you, like it's like, all right, people have a certain limit and certain capacity, or they think they can achieve like this level, but I don't think like that. I think you can just achieve fucking whatever you want to achieve. It's all down to you and the hard work. So because I know this, there's no fucking ceiling, I'm like, you've got to hear, and now you've become complacent. You think you're the best. You think, yeah, you've made it. I will never think like that, bro. I will never think I've made it. I will never think like I'm number one. I'm always like, I'm chasing number one. I don't know fucking where he is. I'm chasing you. I'm going to get you. I can't become complacent because I will not lose what I've built. I'm not, to be honest, I've actually accepted the fact that if I lose everything right now and the business goes down the drain, I'll be all right, mate. I'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? I'll be all right. It'll build me. It'll teach me lessons. I'll come back fucking stronger. And I live every day now based on the things that have happened to me with just no fear, mate. There's hardly any fucking, well, sorry, hardly any fear, but there's definitely no doubt in knowing that I'm going to succeed, especially when my brother died. It gave me that new level of drive and fire deep inside, which I have to control and harness. But it's like, we've got one life, bro. Let's just make it happen. You'd be very surprised what you can turn into and what you can achieve.
It's such a powerful perspective, isn't it? And I agree that facing mortality in yourself with your health condition, and then facing mortality and the loss of a loved one so close to you, it sharpens the focus like probably nothing else.
Yeah. I nearly lost my mom twice when I was younger as well. So that in itself changed me. It changed me. It was just like, whoosh. When you hear that your mum's going to die and you think that's it, you start to think a little bit differently about life. So when that happened at a young age, that automatically changed. And then when my brother got ill and now he died, it's like, fuck, you know what? Time is running out. Let's make it happen. So if I want to do something, I'll do it. I won't hold back, bro. Sometimes that in itself, I will overstep the mark with some things I say, but at least I accept the fact that I will fucking make mistakes.
It's coming from your perspective still, and your life and your lived experience and your identity. So I think that's really, really powerful. I was watching your YouTube channel yesterday. Are you due to be competing in Turf Games later this month?
Yes, bro. The 11th.
How healthy is that to give you a bit of a focus?
Well, it's just made me realize again how fucking competitive I am. Wow. Crazy, mate. I've not competed in anything since bodybuilding days. That's completely different, really, but same types of things. In probably, 8 years. So it's just, it's like you're living, I'd say I live like near enough an athlete most of the time. But now it's like an extra level up. Like, yeah, you need to be extra disciplined with things. And I need to lose a little bit of weight. It might not look like I need to lose a little bit of weight. I've said that to people, but I know I need to lose a little bit of weight. So I'm like fasting a little bit, being even more strict with my diet, training like 3 times a day, sleeping more than ever, recovering, getting like doing mobility 3 times a week, getting like one-to-one sessions. And also I've got like a program being programmed by a female called Georgia Smith. Absolute savage, the workouts, incredible intensity, which I love. And then also, like,
I was gonna say, she needs to understand you in terms of programming. You're like, you know, the program you give to like normal people wanting to compete in the Turf Games, you need to dial up because I need it.
Wow, the program is so tough, man. I love it though, so intense. You gotta live like an athlete, mate, haven't you? If you want to do well and you want to succeed, like the recovery, the ice baths, the sauna, the deep tissues, like it's a full-time fucking job, hours and hours and hours a day to perform and to feel and to move at a certain level and capacity, which takes a lot of fucking time. And that's the added stress I've had on myself, but I know I needed it. I needed to prove something to myself and throw myself into something tough.
It's another positive outlet. And you say you need to lose a little bit of weight. I guess it's just to be a little bit more efficient in terms of the weight that you're carrying around. So you're going to try and hold on to your strength and try and hold on to your speed, but just be that little bit less to move around because you've got so much muscle mass to start with. You've described it as a domination diet. What's involved in a domination diet?
I love some of
the terminology, mate. Honestly, you know, you were like, yeah, they said I was dyslexic or whatever. And I'm like, mate, your vocabulary is class.
Fucking hell, man. That's funny. Well, the domination diet is just a diet that is impeccable. It's a diet that is immortal. It's something that kings would eat and Spartans would eat. Just pure foods from the land, cut, picked, plucked, killed. Any processed shit goes in the bin, brother. I ain't eating any of that crap. I'm eating food that is just pure, mate. The purest ingredients, the best ribeye steaks. I literally just ate before. I ate ribeye with an egg yolk on. This was raw, of course. Liver King style, brother. And then I had like this immaculate fish soup with double the fish. So yeah, that was lunch, man. Love it. Feel great.
Beautiful. Yeah. I think when I was looking at your fridge haul, I was like, yeah, you're definitely going down that kind of single ingredient, unprocessed food side of things. And I think so many more people are leaning into that because growing up in the kind of if it fits your macro era and getting lean plenty of times, eating kind of whatever, you need to look at it more like, and it, while I've still got my corporate job in the sales world as well, I'm like an office athlete. I want to be like lean and fit, but I need my brain to function at peak level as well. So what I eat, it translates into how verbose I am, how articulate I am, how able I am to recall things. That's vitally important too. And if you're maybe filling up your macros or your calories or whatever you're working towards with some junk, it'll slow you down to the same level. So by eating, like, and I hate the term clean, but like by eating like more wholesome, unprocessed foods, I definitely think there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, diet's very important, mate. If you've never eaten like an athlete, if you've never eaten whole foods, most of the time, 80-90%, probably more, then you will never know what it truly feels like to perform or to function at an optimal level. And I really do wish most people would just try at least to give some sort of challenge a go, where they eat a strict nutrition plan, and also try a competition, a photo shoot, get in the best shape of the life, try it, see how you feel. Things will change. Your whole life will change. That's why you were saying at the beginning, start with fitness, because it's an easy way. When my brother was down in the dumps and at an all-time low, he wouldn't be getting sunlight, eating well, drinking sugary drinks all the time. His sleep was all over the place. He wasn't in the gym. His hygiene was then awful. He used to smell. And you could see in his face, he was tired, he was gone. He was just lacking that energy and that vibrancy. But then when he was in the gym, training hard and eating well, his confidence was through the roof. His energy, his self-esteem, completely different, bro. So try at least for once in your life, just push yourself and get in the best shape you've ever been in, because I know it's going to teach you so many different lessons. It's not about the look. It's not about how you look. Please, it's not about how you look. It's about what comes with it, the habits, the man that's going to be created from that.
Yeah, completely agree. I think Andrew Huberman's biggest contribution to the online world in recent years has been that the mind follows the body a lot of the time. Yeah. So, and if you look at how you start your day with a savage workout, your mind follows it in terms of its ability to drive people forward in work, to inspire. It brings out those phrases that we're laughing at, the domination diet, dues paid, fight the demons, whatever comes to mind. That comes because you've got into that kind of flow state and that energy that you've got through moving your body and sweating, which I've got a tremendous appreciation for. One of the last things I want to talk to you about is I wrote down a post that you wrote when you were your most fired up, and I'm going to read it to you and I'm going to ask you a question about it. So you wrote, "Men aren't doomed. No more victim mentality. You have a choice to feel hopeless about everything. Fuck the black pill community. We need to toughen the fuck up. You choose your habits, your rituals, your disciplines, guts and grit. The drugs and negative devices don't cut it. They only leave destruction behind. Build and train the body first. Get fit, strong, athletic, work on your appearance. You have a choice to build your best self, no matter how shit your genetics are. A lot can change in 6 months. It's not that far away. It's one new thought, one decision, one interaction, one podcast, one phone call away from changing your life." I resonate so hard with that message.
Thanks, bro.
And I hate the victimhood mentality. How much of that is an outward reminder for you, and how much of that is an outward reminder for the world?
Well, I know firsthand what it is like to live with a victim, because my younger brother, a lot of the time, had the victim mentality, mate. So if you've experienced it and you've seen it, it's hard to unsee it. Once you've been exposed to something, once you've experienced yourself become a victim, you know, that's it. And I think that in itself is difficult, because I used to say to him a lot, "You are a victim. Do you know you're a victim?" But at the same time, that in itself, when someone is down, depressed, very negative, can lead to an even more negative mindset. But I believe that we have to tell the truth. I'm all about the truth. And some close friends do call me the truth, because I would rather tell you the truth and you hate me and kick and scream and call me an absolute whatever and never speak to me again. But if I know that you need to hear something that no one else in the world is going to tell you, your family, your friends, your loved ones, I will just say how it is because I don't care, because I know that you need to hear it. And
I'd rather have that kind of person in my corner than a yes man.
Yeah, I hate nice guys and I hate yes men. Nice guys are the ones who just pretend everything's all good, pretend to be your mate, and then behind your back, they call your names. Good guys are the ones who, if like me and you now, we had a discussion, we had an argument, we actually like spoke to each other with respect and we accept that another man has a different opinion, but we're not going to go away and call each other all these different names. We're going to say it right in front of each other right now. I don't believe that you are correct. I believe in this, but I don't hate you. I don't like what you're saying, but I respect your opinion.
We would be in so much of a better place if more people did that. Do you remember do you remember a guy called Duncan Bannatyne on Dragon's Den? He's like a Scottish entrepreneur. He owns Bannatyne Gyms, or he did. I don't know if he sold it out. But he's got a little trick he does. He'll be like, George, do you want me to be nasty or do you want me to be nice? And a lot of people will be like, oh, be nasty to me. And they expect him to like shout and scream, but he doesn't. Instead, he gives them the advice that they would want to live an easy, comfortable life. So it might be somebody's like, do you want me to be nasty or nice to you? And they'll be like, they're like, oh, be nasty. And you'll say something like, what you're doing just now is fine. Like, you're having a hard time. It's okay. Just like, take it easy. Have a bottle of wine tonight. Like, have your pint of ice cream on the sofa and watch Love Actually. Whatever bullshit you want to do, that's the right thing to do. It's not. That's you being nasty because you're leaving them in that place of victimhood and of self-loathing and of the kind of toxic self-care that's there. Whereas if you were to be nice, you would be direct, and it's the opposite. You're going to say those harsh words. You're going to disagree with them vehemently, but do it from a place of respect and love. And it's going to put them in a much better position. And I loved when I heard that framework because I was like, it's so true. People think being nasty would be like being harsh with somebody, but actually the nice thing to do, the right thing to do, the good thing to do is, Jordan Peterson would differentiate between nice man and a good man, is to have those harsh words and be direct as you so regularly do.
Yes, that hits so home, bro, because when you own a coaching company, when you've got a big coaching team and lots of clients worldwide, these are the things that we teach our coaches. These are the values, our philosophies, all these types of things, bro, what we've created have to be laid out as a blueprint in order to get the best possible results. And what's good about my team, what's good about me, I got laser focused on how to get results. I know how to get results. If you sign up to the academy, you're guaranteed results if you stick to the program. If you look at loads of different competitors in the industry, you don't respect it. They haven't created a brand because they don't tell the truth and they're not authentic and they're scared of upsetting people, which I absolutely hate. And they're the nice guys. They will keep you on and keep taking your money and tell you all this bullshit that you don't need to hear. But we're the guys. We're the bad guys who are like, fuck you. Put the work in. Stop being like that. You're a victim. You can do more. I demand more. Those are the people who get the results. That's when you see all these well-known fitness influencers on social media who have massive, massive following. They have great socials, great content, way better content than me. But I'm not that. I get the results. I'm here to get the results. As simple as that. You want results? Let's go.
Yeah, George, I completely agree with that. Sometimes they just want to be the arm around the shoulder the whole time, but you're giving people the shake and the direction they need. And of course, just balancing it out and finding out how to do that. The last thing I want to ask you about is the Armstrong Foundation and what you're building, one in honor of your brother, but two in service of helping other people. What's that?
Yeah, thanks for asking, bro. This is going to be just a life-changing, world-changing foundation that is dedicated to my little brother. When he was struggling at a young age, I just had this epiphany, had this realization that we need more support with therapists and people to talk to. I want to create a place where people can just open up. Like, it's absolutely fine, bro. You can go and speak to someone about what you're struggling with. It's like, it's fine, bro. You're cool. Like, you're not a freak. You're not a weirdo. Like, we struggle with our mental health. You just can't see it majority of the time. So I wanted to create a place where men could go to and open up about what's going on. The type of people I've got on board on the team, the therapists, are very similar in the ways of how we do things at Physique Academy. The ethos, the philosophies, the mission. It's no bullshit. If you're on the call and you have a call with one of our therapists, which you can do, our coaches do, our clients do, and soon, hopefully, in the very near future, it's inevitable it's going to happen, but hopefully very soon, anyone and everyone, male, can jump on a free, well, have five free Zoom calls with one of our therapists. I've gone a little bit in circles here and there. I've not really been very crystal clear on from start to end of the foundation. But essentially, you jump on a Zoom call with one of my therapists, you book in, you fill out a form to make sure that you are the right fit for the call, jump on, have a discussion, talk through things. Usually, mate, after one or two sessions, things are good. Like, people have been struggling for years with
certain. They get clarity.
Mate, they just get instant clarity. Boom. I can't believe it. You've healed me. You've healed me from a fucking an hour conversation. It's a miracle. It's like they're mesmerized. It's like if you had that conversation with someone who you actually believed in and listened to and respected, just going back to what I was mentioning about my younger brother, someone who you look up to and listen to and admire, which is the most important thing, then you wouldn't have to suffer the way you did for the past 20 years, coming up with all this crazy shit, all these imaginary evils, all this BS that you didn't even need to be worrying about and thinking about, but it's made your life hell. God damn it. The world would be a little bit of a better place, wouldn't it? So knowing that I know that, this is why I can't not do it. And I'm obligated to do it, because those types of things, that one conversation, that one interaction, that one moment, that one talk, can change the trajectory of your life. And that is why I've set it up.
It's the mission, George. I can see it in your eyes. I can hear it in your voice. You're just driving towards it.
Mate, I love it. Honestly. I love it. I'm so hyped. I'm so hyped because it's pure. It's authentic. And that's what you were saying before about just like being authentic. When you know you're being authentic, I think that's peace. You have this peace when you know you've been real, you know you've been true, when you've got a brand, when you've got a mission which is pure and authentic, you live a different life, mate. You feel different, you act differently, you think differently. Nothing bad can even affect you, bro. Those people who are saying negative things to you, you can't say anything, bro, because you know your intentions are so goddamn pure. Nothing affects you, bro. I couldn't care what anyone says about me. The only person I really care about is, well, the things they say about me is my mum and myself. No one else. It's all good, bro. You can think what you think.
I love it, George. Relentlessly positive, pushing forward in the right direction and bringing and dragging other people with you, with your energy too. If people want to continue the conversation with you, where should they head towards?
YouTube is probably a good one because I've been getting into that. That's quite fun. You can follow me on Instagram, George Armstrong. Best place to follow though would be the business page, which is Physique Academy. That's where I post all my content. I will definitely be posting this one on YouTube though. 100%, mate. I really like this conversation. You've asked some really good questions, bro. Not that the others have been bad. I just think that, don't know, the message was very pure today. And
we explored I felt that, George. All three of those will be linked in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time, George, and thank you to the listener. I'll be back to speak to you all again very, very soon.